Well, I've been waiting to do this for a long time. Here's what I mean. I've been to concerts at Christmas time where the music was presented with just great excellence, and the audience, you know, responded with, you know, deep appreciation for all that had been done. But I wanted to run up onto the platform and say, do you have any idea of what you just heard? Do you know the message that has just been proclaimed? But when you're at the Fox Theater or you're at Orchestra Hall, there's people that go there and they pay good money, and they don't pay that good money to hear me. But you all came here for free, so. So I get to tell you what you have heard, what you have heard sung, what you have heard narrated, the scriptures that you have heard. I get to connect the dots. And I am so glad to be able to do that. Nathan said at the beginning of this concert tonight, we love to sing about Christmas. We love to sing the songs of the season. We love to sing with excellence. We love to sing and play with passion, with joy. And we love to do that for you. But there's a reason why we love to do that. And that is, above anything else, we want you to understand the message of Christmas. Because the story of Christmas is a piece. It is a very important piece of a bigger story. And what I want to do is I want to go back to the second song that was sung. And I want to pick out one of those phrases. There are just so many phrases that you heard tonight, but I want to pick out one of those phrases. And I want to use that to help explain the heart of this message. In that song, you heard these words, "Son of Adam, Son of Heaven, given as a ransom, reconciling God and man, Christ, our mighty champion." What does that mean? And in order to understand Christ, in order to understand what happened 2,000 years ago, we have to go back to thousands of years before that. You see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And on this earth, he created a man, the first human being, Adam. And God named him Adam. And then God created a woman named Eve. And God brought those two together in marriage. God made them both in his image. He made the human race as the pinnacle act of his creation. He made us in his image. And he made Adam and Eve not only to reflect him and enjoy him, he made them to represent him and to rule over his creation. But Adam and Eve rebelled against God. And when they rebelled against God, they sinned. And what sin is, it is anything that is a violation of God's law. Whether it's something that we think, something that we say, something that we do, even something that we fail to say, that we ought to say. or something that we fail to do that we ought to do. Anything like that is sin. But up until that point, Adam and Eve had not sinned. There was no sin on this earth. There was no chaos. There was no disease. There was no destruction. There was no death. But their offense, their sin of rebelling against God was so severe. And God had warned them that the penalty of that, the price of that, is sin, is death. And ever since that point, every human being who's been born into this world, like you and me, we have been born with a sinful nature. Any parent will tell you, you don't have to teach your child how to throw a temper tantrum. You don't have to teach them how to be selfish. You don't even have to teach your child how to say no. You don't have to teach them how to say mine. Why do you have to teach them all the time to say thank you? Because they are born like you. They're like you. They have a sinful nature. But the reality is that our sin has so deeply offended a holy and righteous God that that sin demands a payment to be made. And that payment is so great, no human being can pay for it. And that is perhaps one of the most difficult things you can ever come to grips with. Of anything that you have heard tonight, that right there is perhaps the most difficult thing for you to grasp. No human being can pay for his own sin. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you were caught speeding and you were given a ticket and you found out that the fine that you have to pay is $175 and you don't have $175. So you think, hey, what am I going to do? So you go home and you Google how to print money from your printer. Actually, you can do that because I tried it. And there's a YouTube video that explains how to do that. I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying, okay? So let's say that you go home and you do that and you find this YouTube video and it tells you how you can print money on your home printer. And you think, bingo. Okay? And so you print out $175 and you bring that with you to court. And you try to pay your fine with your money. Number one, is that going to pay your fine? No. Number two, what just happened? Oh, you're in deeper weeds. Because what you tried to pay the fine with is counterfeit money. Your currency does not count. Do you understand that because you and I are sinners, in order to pay the debt of our sin, we have to offer up to God a perfectly pure and righteous life. But we don't have that. The currency that we try to offer, whether it's the currency of our religion, whether it's the currency of our morality, whether it's the currency of our devotion, our good intentions, it's like trying to print money off your home printer. It doesn't count. It's not good enough. We are sinners, and our sin has contaminated everything about us. Even the best things that we have to offer are still contaminated by our sin. The very best we have to offer is not good enough. That's hard to accept because you look around you and you see other people and you think, well, I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad as that person. And somehow you think that because you don't appear to be as bad as that person, that that is somehow something good about you that God will recognize. But anything that we have to offer is not good enough. You need pure currency. You need pure spiritual currency that God will accept. And when you look at the system of belief of most religions of this world, including a lot of the varieties of Christianity, you'll recognize they're all built on this lie that if you try harder, if you are a little bit better, if you're just a little more sincere or you're a little more devout, then surely that will count for something. Your sin can be paid for, and eventually you might be able to make it into heaven. The Bible says you and I have a problem we can't solve. We have a debt that we cannot pay. And we are condemned if it's not paid. That is a huge weight. That is the weight of guilt. I remember explaining this to my son. And the reality that he couldn't pay for his own sin began to set in upon him. And I remember his little body just started to shake because he finally felt the reality of his condition. We, apart from God intervening in our lives, we are hopeless. But God is not only just and righteous and holy and pure. God is merciful. And so God sent to us a Savior, because we can't save ourselves. God sent to us a Redeemer, because we can't redeem ourselves. God sent to us Himself. He sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth. And what Christmas is, it is a celebration of the fact that God came to this earth in the form of Jesus Christ. God, the Son of God, was born of a virgin, clothed Himself with a human body, and He lived the life you could not live. He lived an absolutely perfect life. And what that meant is that He not only never sinned, but He also did everything that He should have done. He said everything that He should have said. He thought everything that He should have thought. And He did all of that in your place. He did that as a substitute for you, because you can't. In spite of all of your promises and your best efforts, you can't. But He can. And He did in your place. And then He died on the cross as the sacrifice, the perfectly pure sacrifice in your place. And because He is God and He is infinite, the price that He paid was an infinite price. And Christ completely paid the debt that you owe. He paid it so full that there's nothing left for you to pay. Now, some of you think that it's Jesus plus your good deeds. No, your good deeds contaminate the whole thing. All right? Or it's Jesus plus my morality. No, your morality isn't good enough. It makes a mess of everything. It's Jesus plus my sincerity. No, it's not sincere enough. It's Jesus plus my devotion. No, it's Jesus. Jesus only. That is your hope. That is your only hope. Not Jesus plus anything. It's Jesus. And that is why the Bible says that we are saved by grace. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. So, Christ was the son of Adam in that he became a man, even while he was son of heaven. He was God. He lived a perfectly pure life without sin. He died to pay the penalty of your sin in full. And the payment that Christ made was our ransom. And he paid our ransom in full, which was proven by his resurrection from the dead. And because he paid the penalty of death in full, death lost its power, which is why he was raised again from the dead. The choir just sang, "It is done." We'll shout the cross. Christ has paid redemption's cost while the empty tomb's declaring Jesus saves. There's nothing left for you to pay. What Christ accomplished for you is offered to you. But in order for all of what he has done to be effective for you, you have to receive it. You have to own it as yours. Nobody can believe for you. You have to personally believe this. And what that means is you have to acknowledge that you, like Adam, like Eve, you are a rebel. You have sinned before God. And that your sin deserves to be punished. But that God, instead of punishing you, he punished his own son in your place. And you accept Christ as your Savior. You accept Christ as your King. And admitting and turning from your sin, you believe on Christ as the only one who can save you. Son of Adam, Son of Heaven, given as a ransom, reconciling God and man, Christ, our mighty champion. The Bible says that Jesus was in the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He even came into his own, but his own did not receive him. But to all who received him, who believed on his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. We sing this, we play this, because this message has literally changed our lives. And we want you to be more than just a son or daughter of Adam. We want you to become our brother or sister. We want you to become a follower of Jesus Christ and a child of God. And that offer is yours through faith alone in Christ alone. Will you trust him? I want to pray for you. Gracious Father, we thank you. We adore you. We praise your name that you have given to us. Jesus Christ, who lived the life we could not live and died the death we could not die. And in so doing, paid the penalty for our sin in full. I pray for those who are here tonight who are just really trying to get their arms around this right now. I pray that you will open up their heart. Help them to see what Christ has done for them. And I pray that you will bring them to faith in and hope in and belief in Christ. And that this Christmas season will become for them a season of true eternal joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.